Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest, but before I do that, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go ahead and share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And why would you? Why would you? We have so much information for you. If you missed any of this week's show, definitely want to check them out. Yesterday's show was amazing. We had one of my dear friends, Krista Marie Miller of KristaMarieMiller.com on the show. And out of the blue, she started channeling from the other guests. It was amazing. It was amazing, amazing, amazing show. The guests from that show have scheduled shows clear and through January. Just based on being on that show and having that experience. So you never know what's going to happen on the Roundtable Talk Show. We have no idea, absolutely no idea. But while you're doing that, I'm going to introduce my first guest, Miss Chandra Gore. And if you have followed the show, you've seen her pretty face before, her beautiful smile before. You've also, if you follow me and you see what I'm up to, my last interview on Ask Sharifa Videocast and Podcast was with Chandra Gore. I had the opportunity to sit down with her for an hour and ask her all kinds of questions about what it takes to be successful in PR and building your business. Chandra Gore of Chandra Gore Consulting. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good to set today.
Set today, as opposed today. To every other day.
Yes, I can only go today. Yeah. In this time frame.
Well, you know, they say magic and miracles happen in the moment. Right now, we need some more magic today.
Yes, miracles and blessings. Miracles.
Yes, yes, yes. You are so funny. I had a good time. And you're also going to be on face-to-face talk show today at 10 a.m.
Yes, well, 1 p.m. my time. So, you know, you in the future.
I know. Okay, so this is what I want to talk about. This is what I wanted to talk about that was so interesting to me. I spoke about it briefly, but you do social media well. You don't just, like most people just kind of make a post and that's it. When you make a post, you took the screenshot from our interview. Mm-hmm. You wore a t-shirt, and I can't remember what it said, but it said, "Trust the Black woman," I believe. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And I thought it was so unique. And I expected, you know, typical Chandra to say, "Oh yeah, I like this shirt." You said, "No, this is my brand. This is, you know, what I offer." And then when you posted the picture, it was, if you were interested in the show, in the t-shirt I wore on the show, go here. And I was like, Chandra, how do you come up with all these creative ways to basically market the same space, the same content? How do you do that?
Because I always have to think about what people are coming to look for. And so the first thing, because somebody asked me about the t-shirt, like, you know what? I do have an affiliate link. Let me tell them where I got this from and why I wear this signature color, because I only wear one lip color. That's it. You know, so, and I wear t-shirts from Digital Rebel because they have all the sayings that come to my mind. So it's like, let me share with people what I wear, because it's interesting. It's a conversation piece, but it also builds engagement too, because then people are clicking and trying to figure out where, and then that company is getting looked at, and then it just becomes a chain reaction of things. So I love that part.
No, I it was surprising to me because, like you said, the lipstick, I saw the link to where I could buy the lipstick, but you are not someone who was like, this is the lipstick. This is where you should buy it. This is the ingredients. You just wore it, smiled, and all of a sudden, when we saw the post, there was a link to where you can get this lipstick. I thought that was wonderful. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, where did I get this lipstick? Maybe I can create my own.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do that. It becomes a passive income, you know? So I always look for things that I can do in my sleep. So, and that's one of them. So.
Okay. So what are some of the other things now I'm taking notes. What are some of the other things that people can do in their sleep to make money?
I mean, you could always have, one, yeah, affiliate programs are a must, or something that you can just post a link and just schedule out posts for those to go out. Two, you can start with your ad, if you have a podcast or something and you need a sponsorship or stuff like that. So have people submit their ads to you. They can record it. You don't have to really do anything but insert it in your podcast or in your YouTube video and be done, you know? Mm-hmm. So those are the different things that you could do on a smaller scale that are not some big it doesn't take a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And that's money that's coming in. It'll always be there. And you mm-hmm. can always, you know, sell. And then plus writing a book, mm-hmm. books, that's another thing. So it's always something you could do to make money in your sleep.
Okay. But again, I just always want to give you credit because you don't just write a book. You have four books. You didn't just stop there. No, let's talk about some of your books.
So I write poetry. Like that's something that I do just sitting on my phone, I'll write something or whatever. So one night I was like, I should publish a book. 72 hours later, my book was done.
72 hours later?
Yeah, the time was Amazon putting it up on the marketplace. I just read how to do it, put all my stuff into place, and just uploaded it. And then I also, I'm a part of a couple of anthologies. But this is the thing. The anthologies that I'm a part of, it required no investment up front, but I get a residual payment. See, and this is where that's the biggest thing. Like, lower the, you know, no overhead, but you get residuals in the end. So those are things that I like. It worked for me. You know, I submitted my chapter. I did that part. They did the work. I get a check. I mean, what?
Just at the end, I get a check. You just go to sleep.
Yes.
Wake up and there are checks. No, but wait, I want to get back. I'm still, I lost you after 72 hours. Like, I know people who, if you talk to them, are wonderful writers. They have, you know, wonderful abilities, but they've been working on their book for 30 years or 20 years. You know, most people say it's the time and energy and effort it takes to start as opposed to finish. But you sat down and wrote a book and it's published within 72 hours.
Yeah, because I had all this stuff. Like, most of the time you can have the makings of a great book or a great product like laying around. Like, I just went through my notes and selected like a certain amount of, like, I think 20 poems, 15 poems, put it together, wrote my intro, put my bio in, uploaded it in the format. Like, it was that it was so easy. Like, for me it was easy because it's like, if I procrastinated, if I waited, then I would have been sitting on it for 20 years. Like, that's what happens. Usually we talk ourselves out of it. So I had no choice. Once I hit submit, it was out of my hands. Can't say, oh, I don't want to do it no more. No. So yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
But you just seem fearless. Just like, you have no qualms about doing just about anything. What? You have four books, two of which, one of the ones, the 9 to 5, I'm really enjoying watching you promote it on social media. Again, not to be redundant, but you do social media well. You don't just post. These are things that I notice because people ask me this all the time. They'll say, Sharifa, social media doesn't work. I don't get any business. I don't get any clients. I haven't made any book sales from promoting on social media. And then when I review and I look at their social media, I notice at least two things. Everybody is different, of course, but the main two things that I notice is, number one, they'll post like the book cover and then basically the price. Like, it's on Amazon, $10.99. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, what is going to motivate me and encourage me to purchase your book when you haven't even sold me on what this book is about, what I can learn from it, what you're sharing, it's just book cover, $10.99. The other thing that I notice is when I look at their news feed, they've posted their book once. It's just, you know, it's just like, buy the book. And then they don't say anything else about this book. Every time I go to your social media, your book that is in pre-launch, 9 to 5, every time. And it doesn't bother me. I just notice we're selling 100 books in August. And it's information on the book, and you do it repeatedly. You do it repeatedly.
Yes, because somebody, the way that the algorithms are, people are seeing my post 3 days later. So if I do the same thing every other day, then they'll eventually see it. You know, they'll see it on the second day, or if I put enough in the social media, especially with Instagram, if I put it in enough, it'll actually show up like it's brand new. So, you know, I change a couple of the words around a little bit because it tricks the algorithm a little bit, but it's very repetitive. But once people get to seeing it, then it'll show up a little bit more and other things will show up more. So I only post 3 times a day. And I'm not even on social media like that. This is the most I'm on social media.
Mm-hmm. But you have a specific message, a specific goal that you're going for, which is the 100 books. And it makes it like we can be a part of that journey because we can help you sell those 100 books.
Yes, that is my goal for this month. But it also shows that, you know, the support. So if I meet the goal, then I'll shout out everyone that got the book and thank them for their investment into something of mine. And it makes them, I'm appreciative. You know what I'm saying? All the people that have bought the book so far, like I'm writing personal notes. Like I know I'm going to be tired, but I'm going to write personal notes. I write them as their purchases come in. So I'm not, you know, behind, but I write a personal note and I'm going to put it in every single book that's mailed out.
I didn't know that. Now when we finish the show, I'm about to go purchase my book. So when I get my personal note, I'm going to frame it. So when you get all your Oscars, your Emmys, your Golden Globes, all of those, I'll be like, look, I was one of the first people who got her book. And oh look, she signed it. It's autographed. But I just loved, we had even started talking about PR. We'll get back to that because I'm having such a wonderful time. But I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. He's also an author, and maybe he'll tell us, this is how we learn. Maybe he'll tell us some of his tips and tricks of the trade that he's learned to market his books. We have Tots Nakagawa. He is the co-founder and COO of Cast Agra. Good morning, Tots. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for the invite.
Thank you for joining us. I'm excited to learn more about you, who you are, what you do.
Sure. So I don't have 4 books. So I love the fact that Chandra's pumping out all these books. I would love to do that. I think writing is something that it doesn't come naturally. And for it took us, and I work with a co-author, 1.5 years to get through that book. So definitely the ability to just sit down and pop out a book in 3 days is impressive.
Yes, yes. Tell us about what is Cast Agra?
Sure, it's a building materials or coatings company. We're specifically focused on roof coatings. And how it started is my business partner accidentally invented this technology about 30 years ago. He's invented a bunch of stuff. He actually invented the Windows Media Player and sold it to Bill Gates. So he's kind of an inventor type.
Wow, I want to talk to him.
Yeah, so in about 10 years ago, his non-competes ran out and we decided to take this coding technology, which is sustainable, and relaunch it. And it just happened to work out that there was a reality game show that was hosted by the Shark Tank guys, the Kevin O'Leary, Robert Herjavec. And we entered in this national competition in Canada. And out of 4,000 companies, we were voted the top sustainable innovation. So that's how we launched our company.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Yeah. And, but the book that you mentioned, we wrote it out of frustration. I had an agency that launched new products into the marketplace and we just ran across so many people that were in love with their idea and it was great for them and they thought it was awesome, but the customers or the prospects didn't think it was awesome. And it was sort of heartbreaking to see people sort of putting their house on the line and developing products that no one needed or wanted. So we wrote a book on it and hopefully it helped some people sort of not go down that path of sort of disaster when it comes to innovations.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I'm buying all kinds of books today. But Okay, how do you not go down that path? Because you brought up to me two very interesting points. And one, like we were discussing with Chandra earlier, most people just don't take that next step. They may have a book inside them or the idea, something they want to create, but they don't take the next step. And I always say there are cemeteries full of million-dollar ideas. But then you have people on the other hand who's like, you know what? Put the house up. It doesn't matter. I know this is going to work. And those people may also not be successful. They read your book, you can help along this process, but what are some of the things, the main things that you've learned that you can tell us?
Sure, one of the things I tell people that want to pursue an idea is there's a sort of an idea I came across in the direct response world that's called the 3 a.m. test. Have you heard of it before?
I know, but can I guess?
Sure, guess.
I come up with all my most brilliant ideas at 3 a.m. And so I'm like, it must be, if you came up with it at 3 a.m., wait until 10 a.m. to see if it still makes sense and then move forward. No, no.
Hey, you know what? That could be another one.
So take my idea. I want some royalty stocks. Don't make a book out of my idea.
No, the 3 a.m. test, which was developed by a famous direct response person, is really simple. So if you have an idea, visualize yourself going to this ideal client or prospect's house at night and then banging on their door and then breaking in and then running up to their bedroom, opening the door and then grabbing them and shaking them, say, wake up, wake up. And then in that moment, tell them your idea, go blah. And they're going to do one of two things. They're going to be super excited and jump up and down and stay up the rest of the night and talk to you about this idea, or they're going to say, yeah, whatever, go back to sleep. So most of the times your ideas are not as good as you think they are. And you really need to sort of air them out in a way that you can get honest and good feedback. There's another book that I like as well, and I like to mention to people, called the Mom Test. Mm-hmm. And if you say, I have an idea, you've already tainted that idea. You've already put yourself into the idea, and you make it difficult for people to give you honest and open feedback. But if you ask more sort of specific questions about them and their life and how they like to do things, for instance, if you're trying to develop an app, then you want to try to figure out, well, how many apps do you have on your phone? What do you use? Are you interested in cooking? Like general questions around that, instead of putting your idea, my idea, out there so that you sort of taint any response. So it's just trying to approach it in a way that I'm excited about it, but be skeptical if it is commercially viable.
I like that. I like the whole 3 a.m. thing. This is what I'm going to do. So now whenever I have a brilliant idea, I'm going to call Chandra at 3 a.m., right? And if she loves it, then we gonna move forward. But if she curses me out and hangs up, I'll be like, no, that wasn't the idea to move forward with. I like this. That worked.
Sorry, Chandra. I did not give her that idea. I was thinking hypothetical.
Her 3 a.m., wait, what time? It'll be midnight here or what?
6 a.m.
6 a.m. Oh, that's fine. I'm up.
Okay, I'm gonna call you at midnight my time then.
Okay, I'm up.
Okay, when you going to sleep, Chandra?
I take naps.
What time are you going to nap?
I don't know.
That's the time I'm going to call you. Like, what do you think of this idea?
I'm going to say it's a good idea and hang up.
See, that's what's wrong with the people around me. They always encourage me. Hey, some of them be like, Sharifa, no, just no. You don't need to do that. That's what they should
do. I'm going to tell you to do it.
I know. That's what I was about to say. I think we should have had that conversation around Longview City Council, but I'm like, wait a minute, I won't go there. Shauna, Marie, Brian is here with us in the studio. I did not forget about you. We were just having a little fun. Thank you for being so patient. And Shauna is amazing as well. She's going to join the conversation. She is one of the co-founders of Bryant Digital Media. And we're also going to talk about her book as well. We seem to have authors on the show. So we're going to see if she has any tips, strategies we can utilize to market our books as well. Good morning, Shauna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. And my story is quite different from Chandra's. I started attending writers' conferences, gosh, more than 10, 15 years ago. And my route was to go with a traditional royalty publisher rather than self-publish. And so you can write lots and lots of books that get rejected over and over and over until you finally get offered a book contract. And so no surprise at all, the first book I finally contracted is on overcoming rejection.
I want to talk about that. You said a lot. Most of the people on the panel have talked about self-publishing. That is key. Everyone wants to self-publish because it used to be where you had to have an agent. You had to have a publishing company in order to be successful. But it tended to move to where those agents will come to you and ask you if you had a following. And if you know, how many followers do you have? How many people, how many eyeballs can you reach? And I always ask the question, if you have the following, then what benefit does the publishing company offer?
I absolutely agree with that. I had self-published a couple of books prior to getting this contract. And the thing is you're responsible for everything, the layout, the design, as well as the writing and editing. You can hire a copy editor to help you with that, which obviously I completely recommend. But then when you do market it, then you make 100% of everything that you put into it in the book sales. Whereas with royalty publishing, once you sell that publisher on the idea of spending the money and investing in you, then you get the benefit of their managing editor and their entire team of marketers, and they'll help you put it out there, and then they spend all the money, right? You just get royalty checks. So it is different in terms of money up front and the type of things that you need to do for yourself. But you're right, getting an agent and getting a publishing contract is very competitive. It's a hard thing to do. So I recommend starting by self-publishing, definitely. Used to be, they would say, don't go that route, because once you start self-publishing, you're not as attractive to publishers. But the industry has changed so much since I started in it, like I said, 15 years ago. So I know a lot of authors that do both. You know, they're, and I may get to that right now. This has been so consuming. I just released the book last month, and in the middle of COVID, you're trying to do a book promotion. I need to take a class from Chandra on social media. I am the worst at social media. I like to get out in front of people, talk to crowds, have my book in the back. And of course, that's not happening right now.
No, Chandra, she'll schedule you in. We'll get that assistance.
That's fine with me. Social media and I have a love-hate relationship. It's necessary, but I could do without it. That's why all my stuff is scheduled.
Yeah, but back to what you were saying, Shauna, I love that. That was an excellent response, because we don't know. You know, our viewers tune in to learn, to get the honest opinions on what they should or should not do. And sometimes, based on your answer, what you said is basically you get the team and you get the experience. And sometimes that's more than enough, you know, because other people are trying to figure it out. That's what self-publishing is. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure out how to make everything happen. Whereas you have this team of experts who this is what they've been doing for years, for decades, and they put all of that force behind you. So I think it's amazing. I think it's a wonderful way to go, and I'm definitely not knocking it. Hey, I need a publisher right now to help me get some books out.
Yeah, it's wonderful, just because I have a writer's critique group. I'm sure anybody that is an author is involved in something like that. And if you're not, I highly recommend it. We get together every other Tuesday, bring 10 pages of what we're working on, pass it out to each other. And then someone other than the author reads it aloud. So even just hearing somebody read your work back to you is very, very insightful and helpful. And so working with a critique group helps you get that manuscript ready for another set of eyes, and sending it out in a proposal form, usually with nonfiction, the full manuscript with fiction. And then you have a little bit more of a sense of how the readers are going to respond to it. So that's a good thing to do.
I wouldn't be able to be in your group. I'm a crier, Shauna. Like, I would be in the group just like, they hurt my feelings. They just ripped my little 10 pages apart. I always think of like the worst case scenario, but just on the positive side, what are some of the critiques that someone can give you? Because too often with our own work, we kind of hide behind the, I meant to do that. That was my style. That was the direction, you know, it's a new direction kind of thing, as opposed to hearing some of the critiques.
Well, I think one of the things that helps the most is, you have all the knowledge in your head. You know what it is that you're trying to say. And so you might leave holes and gaps because your brain is filling those in. And then when somebody else reads it and they say, I am not following this. You're going from A to C and you left out B. And mm-hmm. I thought, oh, everybody knows B. Well, no, everybody doesn't know B. So that, to me, that's one of the most helpful things, is when mm-hmm. I can see that you missed what I was trying to say, or completely misinterpreting it. And then the other, in fact, I had this happen just the other day. Two girlfriends in the same week said, Shauna, do you know that you always say honestly? You just all the time, honestly. I'm doing it a lot. I mean, honestly, I'm doing it a lot lately. And so we tend to do that in our writing too. Mm-hmm. And we may not notice it, but somebody else in a critique group will go along and circle the word honestly here, honestly here. Do you realize you said honestly three times on this page? Mm-hmm. And those are things too that are very helpful with a critique group. And they don't hurt your feelings. You're thankful.
I'm too sensitive. No, but I'm like that as well. I don't have a critique group, but I hear myself sometimes. And the one word that I always say is basically. I don't know why, how, where I started it, but it's just like, I'll say something and I'd be like, basically, that book was nice. And I'm like, okay, what is basically? It either is or it isn't, but I have a habit of saying basically. Todd, do you have any words like that, that you kind of say often?
Yeah, I guess anyways, or what else? There's a few. I was trying to get my kids to sort of point them out to me more. And we're having a game with it. So I was losing. I think anyways, I say super, just trying to get rid of some of those filler words.
How did you come up with this idea? I mean, to me, that's cool, but it also sounds very random, where people just sit down with their kids and be like, what words do I use too much of? Like, how did you come to this game?
No, I was looking for someone to help me with that. Now you can hire a communication coach, and that's fine, but my kids are just always kind of start to become more curious about business and entrepreneurship and stuff. So I remember I've always been sort of entrepreneurial sort of minded, and I love that. So I'm always trying to figure out how I can encourage it if they're interested.
Shauna, you were going to say something?
No, his answer was much better than mine. I was going to say I was totally clueless until people said, do you realize you keep saying this word? So.
No, I think it's cool, but it's also one of my favorite words on the other side is however. And I've been using this word forever. And when I was back in my teens, when I was working at TWA as a customer service supervisor, the other supervisors would hear that word and go, oh, here she goes. Because I never raised my voice. I never got mad. You know, I would just be like, oh, ma'am, yes, I understand. Yes, we lost your wedding dress. I apologize. I know how important your wedding dress is to you. However, you're going to have to come pick it up. You know what I mean? Like, it's just whatever it was. And they knew after however, it was going to be that line that just was like negated all the concern or whatever. So I don't know. Words are fun. I love words. Sean, what are some of your favorites?
Okay. Sometimes they're cuss words. So,
Sandra. No, I'm just kidding. You know?
You already...
Sometimes you gotta have a good curse word come out.
I mean, sometimes, yes, but I say a lot, and I say a lot. I used to say like, and then like we got replaced with and then it was ah. So it's like I have to get out of, I have to catch myself and take a deep breath and remember. And I used to write that too.
You wrote
or like.
You wrote when you
yep.
I only write in a text when I'm trying to prove a point. Like no.
Oh no. I would write it because it would actually pause, like I write like I speak sometimes. And so now that was replaced with like.
I think what one of the things that I work with new entrepreneurs that are just starting out and they're getting into that speaking engagement phase, one of the words that I listen for is Like I always tell them, repeat it until you can get past the because are a clear indication that you're thinking, that you're stalling, that you're trying to remember, that you're trying to figure it out. So now when I speak, I hear myself say like all the time. And I'm like you sound like you're from, you know, you're a Valley girl at 44. You're like, but I don't know. It's just one of the words that I use in casual conversation. I love words. I love verbiage. I love semantics. It changes things.
Well, the F word also is my other thing, but I don't
say and that back to Shauna. I always try to Shauna, let me explain to you what happened. I was trying to do a nice, respectable morning show, and then people like Chandra came on, and I had to create face-to-face talk shows for all the people who I didn't want to offend. Like, if you watch this show, you are going to be offended by something or someone. I just want you to know. But I like
I well, didn't even say it.
Says the F word, I'll just have to say honestly.
Boom.
And then Tots is going to say anyways.
Anyways.
This is fun. It's good. Let's talk about your companies for a moment. Let's get back to work. Shauna, let's talk about Bryant Digital Media. One of the questions that I've been asking, obviously, for the past few months is how has your business been affected? Now, I'm going to ask you basically the same question, but I also know that people who are in the digital e-commerce atmosphere, everyone has to go virtual, everyone. That's the main pivot that I've seen is that companies who have had brick and mortars for years and they basically scoffed at the internet, all of a sudden had to figure out how to go virtual in order to remain successful. Have you seen the same thing? What are your thoughts, Shauna?
Right. Well, what we do is digital media production. And because we've been around for such a long time, we started doing television and radio and a lot of local businesses, you know, would come to us to produce a television or radio commercial, and then they would buy airtime and air it on the local stations. As we got better and better at what we did, we started handling more regional accounts and pretty high-end production. And we like to say that we improved ourselves right out of business because we're in a relatively small market in terms of dollars in the Central Valley of California. And so we had to start putting on different hats. My husband is very creative behind the camera. So he started doing still photography as well. And then he was designing graphics for the TV commercials. So he started designing graphics for printed materials. And then, speaking of the whole digital age, we moved into WordPress website design. And so we can incorporate all of our skills. Me as a writer, I write the copy that's very SEO friendly. And then my husband does the photography, the videos, and of course the layout of the website. So what we have seen, yes, it has, the COVID shutdown has impacted us because we can't go out on location. I mentioned earlier that as a speaker who sells my books at the back of the room, all of my opportunities to speak just dried up. But for my husband as well, it's all of the shooting that he would be doing, going out and shooting things, whether with his still camera or his video camera, were pretty much stopped. And and then the other thing too is when it comes to marketing, it's really important. Anybody in business knows that. But the materials that you produce, you can stretch. You know, we can run that same ad we ran last year or last season. We can, we don't really need to update our website yet. And so the areas that tend to get cut the first when businesses are tightening their, you know, tightening their belt, spending less money, affect us right away.
One of the things that you mentioned was the WordPress website. And I think that was key because for two reasons, sometimes developers, website developers, don't want to mention the back end. They don't want to mention the platform that they use. Now, for me, when I'm working with new entrepreneurs and I ask them what their platform is, if they don't say WordPress, I don't want to deal with them on the marketing end. And the reason that is because I know with the WordPress, there's a plugin for it. That's my expression. I always say there's a plugin for that. Whatever it is, you know, and I tell people, dream of what you really want to do because we want to put your message out there. We want to get you some exposure. We want to schedule you on the shows. So if you want to add something to your website, dream it up, because I'm sure there's a plugin for that. Why do you mention WordPress? Like, why are you a fan of WordPress if you are?
Exactly what you said. When we first started into web design, we had to hire people that are a whole lot smarter than we are when it comes to computer programming and doing the Drupal and those kinds of things. And every time the client, let's say they had fired somebody and hired someone new, and then the staff contact page had a name, an email address, and a photo. And it was like pulling teeth to get into the back end of the Drupal site, get a hold of a person who knew code. Mm-hmm. And now with WordPress, you know, Sharifa, it's simple. And so we like to design websites that we can then turn over the key and mm-hmm. say, you know, here it is, it's all set. We train them so that, but we also offer, you know, we say it's $140 an hour in 15-minute increments, because a lot of times it just takes a few minutes to put up mm-hmm. that new staff member's photo and contact information, and they just as soon have us do it. Mm-hmm. But the plugins, absolutely. Whenever a client calls us that has an existing website, or even if they're wanting to develop a new one, and they say, you know, we want to be able to have a directory that shows all the different locations that we have, and we can say, you know what, like you said, there's a plugin for that. Mm-hmm. But if there isn't, then we'll contact the IT guy that we subcontract with. We don't need him on staff because we don't use him all the time. And mm-hmm. he can custom code just about anything. So we start with a simple, fairly inexpensive way to get a website that mm-hmm. you can then add to. And even if you need to add custom coding and the types of things that you can't get a plugin for, we have that available too at Bryant Digital Media. So
that's wonderful, because I didn't want to make it oversimplified because it's a plugin. What people don't understand is that every plugin still needs customization. So someone has to take the time and energy to customize it specifically for your website and make it do everything that you want to do. So I think it's amazing. I definitely hope everyone checks out Bryant Digital Media. I want to go to some of the comments that I've been ignoring this in the show this morning. Chandra, I got you a new BFF. Amy Trout Hughes says she wants to be on that 3 a.m. call with us with my wonderful new idea. But she also said, I officially need Chandra as my new BFF. Yes, the F word is necessary. So, hey, you getting BFFs, you add into conference calls at midnight, my time, when you're trying to take a nap. So we're going to put the team together. I think that's what we were talking about earlier, is team. Todd, what about you? Team work is important. You talk to your kids. Why your kids though with this game? Like, why not go to some your genius partner and ask him what words you use?
Yeah, I've always been an introvert, so I've always tried lots of different things to become more comfortable being outgoing. Because I'm an entrepreneur, but you suffer a lot if you're an introvert, because extroverts have an inherent advantage in getting ideas out. So what have I done? I've done Toastmasters. I've done sort of storytelling or sort of communications coaching with someone. And then also I got roped into taking a comedy class, and I had to do stand up once in front of people, which was terrifying.
So can we see it now? Can we see your spiel?
It's online if you want to Google it. But what happened is, when I was taking my storytelling,
I know.
You got to go to the YouTube channel, just Tats Talks. And what happened is, when I was doing my communication training, they were talking about humor and how you have to incorporate it and get out of your shell. And I came up with this idea, which I thought was smart at the time, is maybe I'll just get a comedian to help me. Mm-hmm. And then I hired someone sort of regionally that was very well known. And then she goes, in 3 weeks from now, you're getting up in front of a stage. And I just, like, my face is just going white. And for 3 weeks, I didn't sleep well. And I remember sort of writing down sort of my sort of lines. And then as a marketing person, sometimes you just sort of overestimate your ability to sort of come up with stuff. And then I submitted my first round draft, and she's like, no, not funny. And then I rewrote it again, all proud of myself, and I submitted again. She goes, not fun. So it took me about 6 rounds to get it to that it might work. And, you know, I stood up in front of 60 people and it was a friendlier crowd because they warm up the crowd saying, these guys are beginners, don't throw stuff. You can laugh, you can heckle, but don't throw stuff. And it went well, and I it was recorded, so there's evidence, and I put it online. So
we don't get a line, we don't get a joke, we don't even get a tape.
you gotta look at the video, because I just can't recreate what I did. I think it was just over and I forgot everything.
You know, but that's interesting. And it's so funny because I use this every day in my life. I was watching an interview with, I think it was Martin Lawrence. I love comedy. I grew up on comedy. My family's like, everyone's a comedian. But he was talking about the hardest aspect of being a comedian is telling the same jokes over and over and over again. You know what I mean? It was funny the first time, but when you have to deliver that same joke 20 crowds later, it's like, how do you make it funny? And so it's like, now I try to incorporate that in my, it may not have been as funny as Martin Lawrence, but in my pre-show spiel, like I try to add humor, even though Chandra's heard, how many times have you heard my pre-show conversation, Chandra?
A lot.
I love your non-specific answers. You're a politician.
You know what? You're absolutely correct.
Like, you should have said absolutely nothing but a whole lot all at the same time.
Exactly. That's how you're supposed to do it.
You are amazing. I just love you.
But I got so much respect for people that go out and try to sort of make people laugh, because it's all or none.
It's like, so
you can't say, hey, that was pretty good. No, they either laugh or they don't laugh. And sort of the feedback you get. So new product idea, you can be in a bubble, but if you have a bad joke, you're gonna know a lot sort of right away if it's any good. And I think that could really improve your ability to take sort of rejection or critical feedback. So I'm wondering, should I rope more people into doing comedy, because it's hard.
Listen, my first set when I started doing it again, I actually was like so nervous, but it was so much fun because it was a conversation with a bunch of people in the audience. So it's freeing when you are on the mic and you're just speaking your truth, and you know it's real life is funny. So that's where I get my motivation from. But it's a freeing experience. I'm glad you did it. Now I gotta find your set because I want to see it now.
No, then we're gonna share it all over social media.
Yeah.
And I'm adding one of those words that you say often, Chandra.
What?
Listen. Like, listen. It has the hand movement to go with it each time. I ask the question, you go, listen.
I like that though. She's gotta keep that.
Listen. That's part of her set. Like, that's part of the Chandra Gore phenomenon. I don't know, because it just, I gotta listen. Shauna, listen.
And they tune in though. They tune in. And don't you tune in when somebody says listen? They lean in, they listen. So that's, yes. It works.
What's she gonna say next?
Yes, what's she gonna say? Yes, you know it's gonna be something when somebody say listen.
One time I was just about to be introduced in front of a very large crowd of people, and I, you know, you're off in the back waiting to be introduced and come on, and you're all nervous and you're breathing deeply and all of that, and then she introduced me as a great lady to cry with, and I was just mortified. I thought, oh my God, I'm just gonna get up and walk out. I don't want to be a great lady to cry with, be a great lady to laugh with. But I think you know, when it comes to getting up in front of people, they say that even with movies, when you watch a Disney movie, they got to make you laugh. They got to make you cry. They got to make you on the edge of your seat. You want to do all of those things. So I guess I need to work on my humor and not on my making everybody cry.
But I'm with you. You touched an emotion. That's the thing. Cause I want to go back. Cause I never talk about what Chandra does. I just give her a hard time all day. But when I worked for a company and we took the company public and we did the IPO, we raised $6 million and we got about 26,000 followers on social media. That's really how I learned about PR. And I realized that it was the story that got everyone's interest and not the product, not the service, not what we were doing. It's the story behind it. So now anytime I'm working with the company, I always look for the story. What is their story? So does their story make you laugh? Does their story make you cry? And sometimes you need that person you can call and cry with, because I'm not that person. I tell everybody that, oh, do not call me, because I'm the general. Like, suck it up, okay? Get your mamby-pamby, pull your pants, put your big girl drawers on, and get over it. Like, that's, you can't cry with me. So that's a gift. Can we call you, Tanya?
Thank you.
Are we going to cry?
I don't cry either.
You don't? I can't call you at 3 a.m. with my ID and cry?
Okay, first of all, what you crying for? Ain't nobody dead. Like, no, we could cry. So if so, it's very, if it's imperative, crying is cleansing, but we're not just gonna be crying all willy-nilly. We need those tears for other stuff,
like PR.
Yes. and not in too much peopling. Like, cry when is this is too much. Like, do that, but don't cry just to cry. But I understand what you say about, you know, to somebody to cry with. I think they just worded it wrong, because they make you, people feel comfortable enough to expose their vulnerability.
Thank you. I like that. I make people comfortable enough to expose their vulnerability. I think you do that, speaking of story, by being more open and transparent. And that's my writing style. I remember the first time someone said to me from my writer's critique group, you are so open and transparent. And I'm all, is that a bad thing? You know, should I keep some more stuff to myself? But I've heard over and over the best writing is, I mean, I laugh when I'm at my typewriter. Well, actually my computer keyboard, I cry, I feel all of the emotions. And I think, well, if I don't feel them, my reader certainly is never going to feel them. So I have learned to just put it all out there. My kids, fortunately, whenever I write a story, in fact, this book that I've just published, I mentioned earlier, has stories about my closest friends, my family, and I would print them out and I would hand them to them and say, okay, read this. First of all, make sure that it's okay that I even tell this story. And then second, did I tell it right? Am I representing your side of the story well? And so I think by sharing all those stories, I just talked with some women last night that went through my book together as a group and received the feedback from them. And they all said, we just appreciate so much how you were so open with your own stories, because it helped us connect the dots in our own lives and see, okay, that worked for her and she overcame that issue by doing this. And so, yep, just be open. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you cry. And it's all over the page.
No, it's very interesting that you say that, because one time someone said to me, they said, Sharifa, you have the most interesting life. And I told her, my life is no more interesting than anyone else's. It's just the way I tell it. It's the way I tell the stories. And I make them like, so this, it could be a walk down the block, but if you know how to tell a story, it sounds so interesting. It sounds all these different things. So that, I believe, is a gift. Can you give us an idea of some of the stories that you share in your book?
Oh my goodness. I want to try to think of a short one. There's, last night we were talking about, I just mentioned I'm very careful not to name names if I don't get permission. Mm-hmm. And so I was speaking very generally about a NICU. A NICU stands for neonatal intensive care unit. My middle-born child was born with severe birth defects, and he passed away at just under 3 weeks old. Mm-hmm. And I had an experience in the NICU where the doctor was just horrible to me. I'm walking in and he said to me, just take that baby here. I need that crib.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. And so the nurse tried to console me, saying he's used to nursing premature babies back to health, getting them stronger, getting them healthier, and sending them home and having a happy ending. And he knows that's not the case with your child. And so, you know, whatever, I'm trying to make excuses for him. But what I didn't realize was that, that encounter went deep into my long-term memory, and a bitter root started to grow. And I didn't know the man and I didn't have a relationship with the man. But when I went to that hospital years later and I saw a plaque on the wall with his name on it, because he had donated money to that hospital, all of those same emotions. And if you're not familiar with Dr. Guy Winch, he's a psychologist that's done some amazing research on how issues of rejection and those kinds of things are actually neurologically, they cause pain. We talk about, you know, an old football injury or that 36-hour labor that we had delivering our first child, but we don't feel the pain. We remember, but we don't feel it. But when it comes to an emotional wounding, we actually feel the exact same pain. The brain is triggered in such a way that when I saw that man's name on that plaque, I was taken all the way back to that day in the NICU, and I felt the same emotional pain. And I got to where I worked in that hospital for a while. I couldn't even go down that hallway because every time I saw his name, I felt that same anger, that same pain that he had dumped on me that day in the NICU years before. And so I had to work through releasing that and letting that go. And it was a whole process. And by sharing that story about how, you know, it's one thing if a teacher tells you, these are the steps to forgiveness, and this is why forgiveness is important. You know, it's not just about the other person. It's about you and how letting go will make you heal and feel better. It's one thing to say that, but then to tell a story. I had a son and he died, and this doctor was horrible. And then I saw his name, and I had to work through that. And so the very same tools that I teach on how to release it, how to let it go, how to move past it, they knew that I'd been there and I had done that, and it worked for me.
Where can we pick up a copy of your book?
Well, my book is called Longing to Belong. I think you can see it in the light. Mm-hmm. And it is on Amazon, Longing to Belong, Discovering the Joy of Acceptance. And today, identity is everything. You know, who are you? You know, you look at me and you say, oh, she's a white girl. But what if you knew that my great grandparents immigrated to this country right before my people were completely the victims of a genocide? Would that change, you know, how you felt about me? What if I told you I'm a college educated suburban woman? Would that make you think one thing about me? Or if I said I'm a mother who values faith, family, and freedom? And those two came to mind because if I told you I was going to vote one way in November, would you accept me or would you reject me? If we base our identity on those things, we are going to find out that we're going to be rejected, that we're not going to be accepted. If I always think I have to act a certain way or think a certain way, believe a certain way, identify with a certain group of people to be accepted, we're never going to feel our true value. And so my book talks about how, because we're created by a God who loves us and created us for a purpose, then we have value and we are unconditionally loved. And so coming to know who we are and what we're created to be makes all the difference in the world. Then, you know, maybe that's why my word is honestly, I know who I am. And so as much as your words may hurt me, my book starts out, the opening line to the book is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but I don't believe the rest of that sing song. I've been hurt too many times by words to know that they hurt, they can hurt. But in the same way that words can hurt, words bring life. There's an ancient proverb that says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it eat of its fruit. And so I want to speak life over my own life and over everybody else's life. And so that's what this book is all about.
I love it. I love your passion. I can see your passion and your joy in the book. I know everyone is going to definitely want to check out it, pick up a copy on Amazon. But one of the things that you said that was so interesting to me is that we often tend to negate verbal abuse because there are no scars, mm-hmm. there are no bruises, there's nothing that people can see. So I definitely would love for you to come back, Shauna. I would love to have you continue this conversation or maybe have you pop one over to Face-to-Face Talk Show one day, because you mentioned so many different excellent points about how we judge people, how we look at people based on what we see, what we think, what we believe them to be, what kind of person we believe them to be. And on Face-to-Face Talk Show, we like to have those hard, uncomfortable conversations and dig a little bit deeper. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you would like for them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Tots.
Sure. I guess for me, I think if you have ideas and you want to get them out there, sure, there's certain ideas where you should be very, very cautious in pursuing because the risks are very high. But if you have an idea that has a high upside and a very low downside, then don't talk yourself out of it. Pursue it, ask for help. There's lots of resources out there. But I think in our mind, we're always sort of fighting that I'm sort of going to be embarrassed if I go out there and fail. And don't let that stop you. I've had to sort of really expand my comfort zone over the years, and it can really hold you back. And if you can create a support network around you and get the content that you need to sort of get yourself in the right mindset, then if you have a great idea that has a very low downside, just start today and watch it grow.
I think that's wonderful, but we're going to have you come back because you said twice the upside and the downside. And I think most people don't know what that is. That's what they're looking for. They will need that information to fix. They may know the upside because in their mind, the upside is I make $1 million. Like that's all they see. But the downside, they don't know. So definitely would love to have you come back. Chandra, what do you have for us?
Get out and vote. Make sure you're registered to vote. Make sure you know who's on the ballot. Make sure you understand if there's a state and local people that are running. Do your research, make an informed decision. You know, the federal election, that is important too, but pay attention to what's in your backyard. That's it. That's all I gotta say.
Listen.
Listen.
Shauna, what do you have for us?
Well, my final thoughts are the tongue has the power of life and death. So what you say matters. And it's not just what you say to other people. It's what you say to yourself. What are you saying to yourself today? When you leave this show that you're watching, when we walk away today, what thoughts are running through your head? Take them captive. I always say, think about what you're thinking about. Words matter, even if they're never spoken, if they're running around in our head. And the other thing is that you are unconditionally loved. You are unconditionally loved and accepted by the God who created you. So it doesn't matter what other people's opinions are. It doesn't matter what they think about you if you know who you are because of who he says you are.
I think that I'm going to call Shauna at 3 a.m. I'm not even going to call Chandra anymore.
Don't do it.
I'm going to call Shauna at 3 a.m. Be like, Shauna, I have this idea. It came to me in the middle of the night. Shauna's just going to be like, honestly, I think it's wonderful. I had a lot of fun today. This was fun. This was a really great show. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. I appreciate your support, but please, like I say always, don't just watch the show. Support our guests. Visit our website. Visit their websites. Check out their book. Pick them up on Amazon. Have a 15-minute complimentary consultation with Chandra. She offers it to all our viewers, and she can assist you. Tots, Shauna, Chandra, thank you for joining us. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asharifa.com. Until 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time today, for Face-to-Face Talk Show, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.